Welcome to this reflection for Thursday of Holy Week, during which we will join together in celebrating the Lord's Supper. So if you wish to join in, which you are more than welcome to do, please have bread and wine or a suitable alternative ready for that part in our time together. We come feeling the weight of the heavy grey clouds upon our shoulders. As the light diminishes and hope fades, the coins have been handed over, the deal has been done. We retreat to this quiet place, this holy place, and contemplate the future and question the present. Loving God, we gather today in remembrance of Jesus' love for us, his sacrifice for us in prayer and reflection, to give thanks and praise for everything we have and everything we have been given. Help us this day to see Jesus in our lives, seated at our tables, inviting us to dine with him and all our brothers and sisters. Forgiving God, we come before you in remembrance of Jesus' compassion, even in the face of unbearable pain. We come conscious of our own sins, our own failings. May we be forever assured of your endless forgiveness and your abundant grace and your constant love. Help us to see your presence in our lives, to make them better, and to lead us to do your will. Gracious God, we join together in remembrance of Jesus' care, shown to us and to all creation on this day of preparation for the pain of tomorrow. Help us to recognise the light that remains in the world, even in the darkest dark. Show us the path towards your kingdom, your glory, and your love this day and every day. Amen. Listen. Remember. We tell these stories to our children. We should tell them to our neighbours and our friends. And we tell them to ourselves. We tell them to remember, to ground ourselves, to bring Jesus into our midst. It was time for the Passover, so we remember. We remember the food eaten hastily, the blood on the doorposts, being dressed for a journey, aware that God was about to do something that would change their lives and our lives forever. Listen. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbour in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a one-year-old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the house in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire, with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals in your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the house where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." We remember that night. We remember it in story and tears and laughter,
and food and solemnity and song. We remember tonight, this Maundy Thursday, we remember. We remember the story told to us by John. Jesus, well aware of what was going to happen to him. The water poured into a basin. The towel tied around his waist. We remember Peter. We remember Judas. We remember that it was Passover night. So listen.
Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who is bathed does not need to wash, except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that's what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so I now say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another."
We remember that night. We are remembering it now, in story and tears and laughter, and food and solemnity and song. We remember. And we remember what Jesus told us again and again and again. Love one another as you have been loved. Family, strangers, friends, travellers, refugees, neighbours, people who think and behave like you, and people who don't. Love one another as you have been loved. Remember. It's the usual story, accompanied by the usual food. It's the usual rabbi, accompanied by the usual group of disciples. It's the usual conversation, accompanied by the usual jests and theological point scoring. That is, it's the usual until the unusual happens. Mid-meal, the usual rabbi suddenly rises from the table and starts disrobing. This unusual action has got their full attention. Dressed in just his tunic, a towel around his waist, the usual rabbi looks unusually fragile. Chatter stopped. They listen as the water falls into the bowl. Watch in silence as he kneels before them, a servant. The usual meal has become unusually awkward, as the natural order of things is overturned and feet are washed by the Master. It's the usual way of things that Peter misunderstands and then jumps in with both feet first. The unusual, usual rabbi teaches as he washes, showing them the way of loving service. All is upturned. It is the unusual that is to become the usual. Bread becomes body. Wine becomes blood. Power is stripped of ego. It's an unusual story, accompanied by unusual food. It's an unusual rabbi, accompanied by an unusual group named friends, gathered through the ages. It's an unusual conversation accompanied by unusual love shown in word and action. That is, it is the unusual until it becomes the usual. For usually love is a work in progress. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. When it was time, he sat down, all the disciples with him, and he said, "You have no idea how much I've looked forward to eating this Passover meal with you before I enter my time of suffering. It's the last one I'll eat until we all eat together in the kingdom of God." "Your time of suffering? The last time? Together in the kingdom?" "Oh Jesus, through your meals and sacrifice come together the action of breaking and sharing, of tearing and union, of breaking down and gathering round. It becomes your destiny shaped before us. And we are witnesses." Taking the cup, he blessed it, then said, "Take this and pass it among you. As for me, I'll not drink wine again until the kingdom of God arrives." The cup, the blessing, the arrival of the kingdom. O Jesus, in you, cup and blessing share the same story. The way love works is the greater moment brought by the lesser one. The glory ciphered through the suffering. And we are witnesses. Taking bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Eat in my memory." Body? Broken memory? Oh, Jesus, bread and body speak in the same moment. Picture and practice of symbol and action. The manageable held within the incredible. And we are witnesses. He did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant written in my blood. Blood poured out for you." A new covenant, blood for us. Oh, Jesus, wine and blood fill the same cup. The ugly held with the bitter. The murder licensed by the promise. The terrible glory conjoined with wine-filled goblet. And we are your witnesses. Lord God, Holy One, we meet here to remember all that Jesus has done for us by dying on the cross. We want to play our part in the coming of the kingdom, and we want to show our commitment to you by receiving once more bread and wine, symbols of the covenant between you and us, reminding us of your love and our call to love in return, and to share that love with everyone. Send down your Holy Spirit upon these elements, that once more we take and eat and remember and recommit ourselves to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. The time is now, with the taste of bread fresh on our lips, to go into the world and face the darkness. The moment is right. With the bitterness of the wine sharp in our mouths, to face the powers of the world with the love of heaven. The place is here. With the sound of covenant echoing in our ears, to endure the suffering love calls us to. The path is before us, with the crumbs of heaven still scattered across the table, to side with truth in a deafened world. The hour has come. With the table conversation a turmoil in our minds, to conspire with Christ and move against injustice. The gospel is this. With bread lying broken and a goblet left empty, love is betrayed, but death shall not have the final word. This is your requiem, Lord Jesus, the silent requiem from a world that has forgotten itself and believes it can finish with love. Tonight silence will fall when the oldest, most ancient question is asked, hidden in plain sight. What love is this? And in the silence we know the answer. So let us believe.
Loving God, as we draw close to you, separated in space but united in your love and grace, we bring our prayers. In this time of uncertainty, as your world continues to be impacted by disease, climate change, inequality and fear, we pray for all people affected. Grant us the strength to heal and to help in every way that we can. In this time of change, when your global church faces new challenges as well as new opportunities, we pray for all who seek to follow you, all who seek out your presence in their lives and try to recognise Jesus on their journeys. Help us all to feel your presence and share your love with all whom we meet. As we remember Jesus' final hours, his last meal, the pain he felt, the fear he knew. As we reflect on his sacrifice and our place in the world, as Christians, trying to do your will and spread your message, we pray for ourselves, our community and our country. Guide each person to greater charity and love. And grant wisdom to our leaders, elected and unelected, that they might work for the good of all people. Loving God, as we join together this day as one communion, one body in Christ, help us to remember what he did for us, what he gave to and for us. And help us to show his love to all, this day and every day. Amen.
But the story is not over. The shadows have suddenly lengthened and the time has come to leave behind the bread half eaten and the wine half drunk. The taste of promise caught up in endings, still sharp in our lips, and to go deeper into the darkness where heaven is handed over to the betrayer. Indeed, as we have lingered here, the rush of the darkness has swept the light aside and the night has already begun to crush the light. So let us go to the place where Jesus prays and the betrayer steals away the Prince of Peace. Jesus has been here and gone. The echo of betrayal still lingers. The darkness seems a little darker here. There's a gap in the darkness where the Son of Light once prayed, a crease in the air like a warped lens through which we can see what fear has done, and ghosts of the past have come to shape our present. The kiss has been given, and still the ripples distort the scene where the Son of Humanity has been betrayed. This may be the first, but it's not the last. The path is certain now. The powers that be have chosen their way, chosen how to complete this story, and Jesus has been stolen from us. And yet, my friends, with all that you can believe, conspire with the light, torn for us now, but crumpled somewhere, ready to rise again. Conspire to believe that this turning of events is not the way that love intends to leave things. Go now. Go into the night and the echo of a kiss, and believe in a God who will not end things here.